everyone. You're listening to Shakya Presents Movie Night. This is episode one. My name is Rudy Obias. I am the movies editor of Shakya.com, the podcast and website that this is hosting. Joining me is...
Hello, I'm the guest today, Alana Raven, fellow movie critic and also a New York City living girl.
Yes, we are both in the very hot and muggy New York City today. Yes. And so this is the first episode of Movie Night. There's been numerous iterations of the same podcast over at other websites, or at least being in production at other websites. But Shakya.com was lucky enough to land this podcast. I don't know if lucky is the right word I want to be using.
I think so.
But what this show is going to be, we're generally wanting to keep a really short, tight show, just being like 15, 20 minutes. And what we're going to be doing is discussing the big movie release coming out this Friday on June 10th. J.J. Abrams' new film, Super 8, will be hitting theaters. This movie was written and directed by J.J. Abrams, who his prior movie, of course, was Star Trek, and he's a TV guy mostly, shows like Felicity, Lost, and Alias. It's funny how I went to Felicity first.
I was going to say, come on, are you not going to say Lost right now?
Well, arguably, I like Felicity a little bit more than Lost.
All right, I'll keep my mouth shut on that, but okay.
I just want to remind people that, you know, Felicity was around. It was a thing back then.
It was.
But he has broken away from TV, and this is his second feature, Super 8. And here's a brief synopsis. Well, actually, here is a trailer for Super 8, and then I'll get into the synopsis.
I've got nothing against your friends. I like your friends. Well, things have obviously changed for us.
Have to help Charles finish his movie.
It'd be good for you to spend some time with kids who don't run around with cameras and monster makeup.
Could you close your eyes, please?
Yeah.
And action!
An eastbound freighter derailed. What the cargo was on that freighter, we don't know.
We can't tell anyone.
I know.
I understand you have concerns about our cargo.
Colonel, there isn't anything else that I should know, is there?
I can assure you the answer is no.
We've got calls from people who found local dogs, but the calls coming in aren't local.
Lucy!
It's like they all just ran away.
I've got property damage. I've got theft. I've got 9 people missing now. Clearly, things happening around here that I can't explain.
Okay, that's enough. It's mostly visual after that point. So a brief synopsis of Super 8. This is from IMDb.com. After witnessing a mysterious train crash, a group of friends in the summer of 1979 begin noticing strange happenings going around in their small town and begin to investigate into their creepy phenomenon. Super 8.
I feel like I should start singing, in the summer of 79. I'll keep my mouth shut.
So, Alana.
Yes.
What is your, background with Steven Spielberg, who produced this movie? This is an Amblin film production, and it kind of does harken back to old Amblin films like E.T., Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Goonies, stuff like that. Monster Squad, which is an Amblin film, but it kind of still has the same vibe. What is your background with that, and what did you think of J.J. Abrams' Super 8?
I mean, I'm I'm a big film nerd. I grew up on people like Steven Spielberg, and I loved it. It's homage to him. It's a big nod to him. It's very much in the vein of those late 70s, 80s classics that so many of us grew up on. Like, I found myself getting a lump in my throat. Like, it was watching E.T. all over again for me. And, yeah, I mean, like you said, I was brought back to Close Encounters, The Goonies. It just had this innocent sense of wonder where these characters are brought together by this extraordinary circumstance. And these youths are at the heart of the story and just really connect with them. And I think J.J. Abrams, how it connects with E.T. is he keeps the focus on those kids and the complex feelings they have and their relationships with the parents, because they're, you know, underestimated by the adults, but in the end, they have the power and you're rooting for them the whole time. So I think he did the story justice, and I loved it. I loved the movie.
I too love this movie. I was pretty, I don't know if I was surprised how much I loved it, because this was actually the most anticipated film for me this summer. I was dying to see Super 8, and it not only lived up to my expectations, it exceeded it greatly.
Mm-hmm.
This film was just so mesmerizing, so wonderful, so nostalgic. I don't know how much it definitely played on my nostalgia of growing up and my memories of watching movies like E.T.
Yeah.
That just from the opening Amblin logo to this, really, it begins pretty sad, and this pretty somber scene of a factory worker taking down this sign that says "No accidents in 400 some days," and then putting a number one,
mm-hmm.
you know, to indicate that there was an accident recently, and then the next scene being kind of like a wake of a funeral, begins really sad, but it totally captures that tone of 80s films, because not only is it set in 1979, so it has that feel already, it plays off those films just so well.
Right. I mean, it's not your usual blockbuster summer movie where it's open with this big action sequence. You know, you're brought into this intimate scene and really drawn in, and it really took you back to films of that nature from the 80s.
Yeah, and it grabs your attention really quickly, not in a very obvious way, but just the way it tells its story and how it unfolds, because you're watching this, you don't know whose wake this is, you don't know whose funeral it is, you just kind of get stuff like that from bits and pieces of conversations, so you really don't know who the main character is yet, and you don't know what the dynamic is with this person, and then slowly but surely, throughout the whole course of the movie, not even within that scene, you get who this kid is, who his father is, and who they lost, and how they're dealing with it. And that's how I see this movie, is just a father and son dealing with the loss of a wife and a mother.
Right.
Not to say that this isn't a typical summer film, because there is big action in it.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to that, there was the... It's about a group of kids who make movies on Super 8 film, ergo the name Super 8.
Zombie movies, too, which is amazing.
Amazing zombie movies. And while shooting a scene, there's this wonderful train crash. Alana, tell me what you thought of the train crash sequence.
I thought the train crash sequence was amazing. I mean, I thought the effects were really genuine to the plot, and it never came off as too much to me. And I think what's so great is they're not in 3D. Like, it's actually possible to make something look visually pleasing in 2D. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, we saw this in IMAX, and I do highly recommend, if you do see this film, see it in IMAX, because it's absolutely worth the price of admission. That sequence alone is worth the price of admission. Mm-hmm. I have never been so scared that a train might actually physically hit me, even though it is on the screen and not, you know, there. I thought it was going to crash in on me. And then I just had this big smile on my face practically the whole movie, realizing that this is a great experience. This is a wonderful story. And I practically loved every minute of it. Alana, what did you think of after the train crashed? What happens next is this mysterious alien or monster escapes from the train. Then we find out that this was a military operation, and we have this monster on the loose.
Right. I mean, I think Abrams knew exactly what he was doing. I mean, this is the guy who created the smoke monster on Lost and kept it as like this nerve-wracking threat for several seasons. And you definitely get that feel while watching Super 8. You're very unsure on what this creature is. You're very curious about it. But like scene by scene, it slowly unravels on what this creature is and what it's capable of. And I was terrified, you know, like this isn't a cute, cuddly E.T. Like, you don't connect with this character until later on in the film as he slowly unravels what exactly the creature is.
Yeah, well, it's definitely not a cute, cuddly E.T., and yep. Definitely has a different effect on people as E.T. that did. But what I loved about the monster sequence is exactly that it was this mystery throughout the whole thing. And so there you're engaged in that way, wanting to know what this monster is. Every now and then it would pop up, and practically like every piece of this film, you don't know what's going to happen until it actually happens. So that's just great storytelling there, where you're not predicting what the ending is going to be, just based on what's on screen. It just slowly but surely takes you towards this journey. And that's what I appreciated most from this film. Alana, what did you think of the kids in this movie?
I thought the kids were great. I thought Elle Fanning as Alice was really, really fun. And Joe was genuine and heartfelt. That's Joe Courtney was his name. My favorite kid, though, was the pyromaniac, Ryan Lee as Carrie. I mean, he was just brilliant. And the braces on his teeth, like those minor details, they were even old school braces, like from the 80s. Just minor details like that just made the film for me. But he was one of my favorite characters. He was great.
Yeah, that's kind of a testament to like the production of this film, is that not once do you think that this was made in a modern era. Like, while watching it, it does look, feel like a film from the early 80s. Not only in just capturing that feeling and tone, but just in production design and the way haircuts were and the way people were acting. It just felt very, very nostalgic. I guess in saying that, do you think younger people, I guess being 18 years old, not living in the 80s at all, would like this movie? Do you think this movie can gain a big general audience?
God, I hope so. I really hope so. I mean, it's hard because the kids now are growing up on these 3D movies and these sequels, and like, this isn't Super 8 based from Super 1 through 7. It's a new film. It's original. It's authentic. And I don't know. I'm really hoping that it catches on to the youth, because I think it's really, really important for kids to see this film, just to have that feeling that I grew up on. I would like for, you know, kids to grow up and have that too with this film.
Yes, this is not the eighth movie in the Super franchise.
We should mention that, you know? You never know.
I wonder if people would go and like, I can't watch this movie unless I watch the first seven films that came before it.
Exactly.
But yeah, I definitely hope it's going to gain that big box office, just because it's a really good movie.
Yeah.
And then everything on top of that just lays it on in that I don't know how big this box office is going to be this weekend when it does come out. Hopefully big, because it is a tentpole film, and it's being pushed a lot.
Right. I mean, the viral marketing campaign's really, I find it to be really cool. I mean, they have a 7-Eleven. I don't know if you heard about this, but 7-Eleven launched out this Super 8 marketing campaign where the 88th customer who checks into a 7-Eleven location wins a free ticket to the movie. So they're definitely trying to get the kids, you know, who spend 80% of their time on the internet, like getting them checking into Foursquare. There's also a viral marketing campaign with a fake trailer that came out, which was kind of like the viral alternate reality games that Spielberg used to market back in the 70s. So I hope that it captures, you know, the kids that way.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the viral marketing push for Super 8 kind of came late in the game, because it wasn't until yesterday when I saw something on Twitter saying the secret Super 8 website or whatever, and then using the password Mint to log in. You would think that something like that would come like at least a month before release, but this is coming like a couple days before release. And so, to me, I don't know if like if Paramount was worried because a lot of the first reviews coming out were kind of mixed, which I don't, I guess I can kind of see why it was mixed, that the third act does have a little bit of problems, but it's, I feel it's just very minor problems where...
The only push I saw before this was on American Idol. They had a spot where the contestants went to Spielberg's house and were given Super 8 films, and they did a whole spot on it. But that was the only thing I saw that was promoting to the target audience for this film. Aside from that, everything's been very recent, like you said.
Huh. I don't watch American Idol. So yeah, what did you think about the third act? I guess spoilers ahoy. Spoilers ahoy, going forward with Super 8, that if you haven't seen it yet, and you probably haven't because this is going up a couple days before release, what did you think about the third act? There's a lot of criticisms that the movie completely falls apart in the third act.
I don't know. I don't know what criticisms have been said about the third act, but I'm a fan of it. I mean, I think at the end, like, a movie's made about this transition from being a kid to an adult. Like, you grow with these characters towards that third act, and the youngsters realize that life isn't like a movie or TV show. Bad things happen, and their parents can't always protect them. And I was, like, choked up at the end of the third act. Like, I was emotionally invested in the film all the way through.
Yeah, same here. I was definitely emotionally invested, I guess, from the opening frame of this film. it completely got me hook, line, and sinker. That I haven't really fallen for a movie like this since maybe a couple weeks ago when I saw Attack the Block, which is another film that kind of plays off the 80s nostalgia in a way. That movie is also kind of like Goonies meets Monster Squad meets... Gremlins, so that also plays on 80s nostalgia just as much as Super 8 does. But I think for my money, I would go with between the two. Emotionally, I go for Super 8, but for fun adventure and excitement, I go for Attack the Block, because that movie's just badass.
So good.
Anything else you wanted to bring up with Super 8?
The soundtrack. I thought the soundtrack was amazing. I mean, the Cars, the Blondie,
My Sharona
is playing the end credits. I mean, you really feel like you're brought back, like, to your 80s baby roots. I really dug the soundtrack a lot.
Yeah, I dug the music, definitely. That it does, again, it's just another layer of tone. Mm-hmm. This film is just so great at capturing tone. Part of me just feels like I don't like it being relegated to what you would quote unquote think is a summer movie, because I think this movie is better than what you would normally get during the summer. And I hope that this movie also makes money and that this is not seen as a failure, because it's a great film. I guess even if it is seen as a failure, it wasn't a failure to me in my heart. I loved it so much. And stay for the title, the credit sequence.
Oh gosh, I mean, I don't want to spoil people, but it's amazing.
It rivals The Hangover.
Does rival The Hangover. The end credits are so great. I mean, I'm a big film nerd, and I'm a big zombie nerd as well. And meshing those two together, I mean, this film really, it makes it okay to be a geek and to like films and like zombies. And you get this amazing film at the end that the kids were putting together towards you know, the whole story, and it's just amazing. I mean, maybe it'll inspire the kids to get out on their cameras and make some zombie movies, if anything. That's cool.
Yes, with iPhones instead of Super 8 cameras.
Yeah.
And it's always okay to like zombies. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, the end credit sequence was just the cherry on top for me, where I applauded at the end of this movie, and I hardly ever do that. And I cheered during it, and big smile on my face. Seeing it on IMAX was definitely worth it. And I can't wait to see it again. So I guess on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate this movie?
I'd give it a 9. It's up there. Yeah, I'd definitely give it a 9.
I would give it an 8, a super 8 out of 10.
Oh. Right.
Okay, let's wrap up the first episode of Shakya.com Presents Movie Night. Where could we find you online, Alana Rabin?
You can find me or follow me online at twitter.com/AlanaRabin. That is me, AlanaRabin.
And you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Rudy_Obias. That's RUDIE_OBIAS. Shakya.com, GordonandTheWhale.com, and AutorCast.com if you want to hear another podcast that I do about art house cinema. You can go to that website, AutorCast.com. And if you would like to email what you think of the show, any suggestions, this show is still in its infancy, you can shoot us an email at ShakyaMovieNight@gmail.com. That email address is ShakyaMovieNight@gmail.com. Or I guess if you want to leave us a voicemail, you can go ahead and do that at 347-878-3430. That number again is 347-878-3430. Hopefully, everyone listening to this will continue to listen to this. Next week, we are going to be discussing Green Lantern, I think. That's the next summer, the big next movie of the week. So until then, thank you so much for listening to our show. Goodbye.
Goodbye.